Hey, listener. Before we get started, there are a couple of things I need to point out about the podcast. First, this podcast is intended to serve as a study aid for students in the Texas Basic Peace Officer course and should not be used in place of classroom instruction. Second, you should not consider anything we discuss during the episodes as legal advice, and the opinions we express on the podcast are our own and are not representative of our employers or the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. And finally, you should always consult your agency representatives and your county or district attorney's office before filing criminal charges based on anything you hear on the podcast. Are you a cadet in the Basic Peace Officer course in Texas? Are you an officer in another state planning to challenge the Texas Peace Officer licensing exam? If so, then this is the podcast for you. We are going through and breaking down the codified portions of the Basic Peace Officer course learning objectives to help you understand all the legal language. This is BPOC Basics. Welcome back to another episode where we cover the Basic Peace Officer course learning objectives. I'm Jim McGregor, and with me is Amy Byram.
Hey there.
And we're going to get into Chapter 20 today, talking about, all kinds of things, kidnapping and unlawful restraint. So let's get into it. But before we do that, we got definitions. So let's get started with 20.01. Our first definition is restrain. Now, I will caution you that whatever you think restrain means from before you started taking the Basic Peace Officer course, you need to just throw that definition away and let's give you a new definition. So in Texas, in the law, restrain means to restrict a person's movement without consent so as to interfere substantially with the person's liberty, which that makes sense. That's what I would think restrain means, right? But we also added this, by moving the person from one place to another or by confining the person. So restrain could include moving the person from one place to another. That tends to throw people whenever they are reading word problems on tests, so be careful. Restraint is without consent if it is accomplished by force, intimidation, or deception, or any means, including acquiescence, which means agreement, of the victim, if the victim is a child who is less than 14. Underline that, highlight it, put a circle around it. Less than 14 years of age, or an incompetent person, and the parent, guardian, or person or institution acting in loco parentis. Amy, what in the world is loco parentis?
That basically just means someone acting as a parent. It's a fancy legal way of saying someone acting in the role of a parent.
All right. And does that have to be court appointed?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So somebody that the court has assigned that responsibility to has not acquiesced, also meaning agreed, in the movement or confinement. Or the victim is a child who is 14 years of age or older and younger than 17. I would underline, circle, highlight that as well. I'll say it again. The victim is a child who is 14 years of age or older and younger than 17 years of age. The victim is taken outside of the state, meaning the state of Texas, and outside a 120-mile radius from the victim's residence. That's important. 120-mile radius from the victim's residence, and the parent, guardian, or person or institution acting in loco parentis has not agreed in the movement. So, restrain, again, means to restrict their movement or to move them from one place to another or confine them. And then we have those ages. So pay attention to the ages. It's very important. Our second definition is to abduct. Another very, very important definition in this section. Abduct means to restrain a person with intent to prevent his liberation by secreting or holding him in a place where he is not likely to be found, or using or threatening to use deadly force. So I can't abduct somebody without first restraining them.
Correct.
All right. So if I'm restraining somebody and then I put them somewhere where they're not likely to be found, I have now abducted them. Or in the process of restraining them, I use or I threaten to use deadly force, I have now abducted that individual. A relative means a parent or step-parent, ancestor, sibling, or uncle or aunt, including an adoptive relative of the same degree through marriage or adoption. And a person means an individual or a corporation, association, limited liability corporation, company, or other entity or organization governed by the business organization's code. An individual means a human being who has been born and is alive. Agricultural land has the meaning assigned by Section 75001 of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, and I'm going to save you the trouble of looking that up. Pretty much agricultural land means any land that you can grow something on or raise animals on. And a firearm has the meaning assigned by 4601 of the Penal Code. Firearm means a gun, okay? And a special investigator includes an agent of the United States Department of Homeland Security. It also includes people like Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs, FBI, DEA, any federal law enforcement agencies. Okay. So we're done with those definitions. Let's get into the laws. Unlawful restraint, 20.02. A person commits an offense if he intentionally or knowingly restrains another person. So this is why these definitions are critical. Restrains another person. It is an affirmative defense to prosecution under this section that the person restrained was a child younger than 14. I would circle, highlight, underline, make a mark in your book that it's a defense to affirmative defense to prosecution under this section that the person was a child younger than 14, the actor was a relative of the child, and the actor's sole intent was to assume lawful control of the child. So, if you are a parent or a step-parent and your child snuck out of the house and went to a party on a Friday night and you found out that your child was there and you went over to the party and went and put the habeas grabis on your kid and put him back in the car and drove them home, you did not unlawfully restrain your child, correct?
Right.
All right. And you also didn't kidnap them. So you can go pick up your kid from the party that you did not give them permission to go to, and you're not breaking the law. It's an affirmative defense of prosecution. And let's see. Under C, an offense under this section is a Class A misdemeanor, except the offense is a state jail felony if the person restrained was a child younger than 17 years of age. It's a felony of the third degree if the actor recklessly exposes the victim to a substantial risk of serious bodily injury. Or the actor restrains an individual the actor knows is a public servant while the public servant is lawfully discharging an official duty or in retaliation or on account of an exercise of official power or performance of an official duty as a public servant, or the actor while in custody restrains another person. It's no offense to detain or move another under this section when it is for the purpose of effecting a lawful arrest or detaining an individual lawfully arrested. So when the police go out and arrest people, they can't claim it was an unlawful restraint.
Correct.
All right. It is an affirmative defense to prosecution under this section that the person restrained was a child who is 14 years of age or older and younger than 17 years of age. The actor does not restrain the child by force, intimidation, or deception, and the actor is not more than 3 years older than the child. Okay. Section 20.03, kidnapping. A person commits an offense if he intentionally, knowingly abducts another person. So again, very critical that we understand the difference between restrain and abduct. So going back and looking at those two definitions, remember that the abduct included putting that person in a place where they are not likely to be found, or the threat or use of deadly force in the process of the restraint. It is an affirmative defense to prosecution under this section that the abduction was not coupled with the intent to use or to threaten to use deadly force. The actor was a relative of the person abducted, and the actor's sole intent was to assume lawful control of the victim. An offense under this section is a felony of the third degree. Aggravated kidnapping, section 20.04. A person commits an offense if he intentionally or knowingly abducts another person with the intent to hold him for ransom or reward, use him as a shield or a hostage, facilitate the commission of a felony, or the flight after the attempt or commission of a felony, inflict bodily injury on him or violate or abuse him sexually, terrorize him or a third person, or interfere with the performance of any governmental or political function. B, a person commits an offense if the person intentionally or knowingly abducts another person and uses or exhibits, which means the person can see it, a deadly weapon during the commission of the offense. Except as provided by subsection D, an offense under this section is a felony of the first degree. At the punishment stage of a trial, the defendant may raise the issue as to whether he voluntarily released the victim in a safe place. If the defendant proves the issue in the affirmative by a preponderance of the evidence, the offense is a felony of the second degree. So it would lower the punishment if, when this kidnapper released their victim, they let him go someplace safe. It would decrease the punishment. Anything to add here on aggravated kidnapping?
No, sir.
So, right, we have a kidnapping, but then it's going to make it aggravated because of the way they essentially either treated the person while they were kidnapped or what their intentions were or their motivations were for kidnapping the person in the first place. And we have smuggling of persons. 20.05, a person commits an offense if the person knowingly uses a motor vehicle, aircraft, watercraft, or other means of conveyance to transport an individual with the intent to conceal the individual from a peace officer or special investigator, or flee from a person the actor knows is a peace officer or special investigator, attempting to lawfully arrest or detain the actor. So most commonly we're talking about individuals that are coming in contact with law enforcement and they've got somebody in the car that is wanted and they are trying to evade detection by law enforcement, or people that are in this country illegally and they are trying to not be detected by law enforcement.
Yes.
So they're using a car. This is the first part of this entire section here. They're using a car, motor vehicle, an aircraft, an airplane, or a watercraft, some type of a boat, or other means of conveyance, right? A covered wagon, a horse, something like that. Now, number two, encourages or induces a person to enter or remain in this country in violation of federal law by concealing, harboring, or shielding that person from detection. So this is where you've got people that are illegal immigrants, and they are here, and they are hiding them by letting them stay in their house or harboring them in some manner and keeping them from getting caught. That would be smuggling of persons. They didn't necessarily bring them here, but they're now here and they are helping them avoid detection. That's number two. Number three, assists, guides, or directs two or more individuals to enter or remain on agricultural land without the effective consent of the owner. These individuals tend to be folks along the border between the United States and Mexico that are acting as guides that help people once they have crossed the border. And all that land along the border is privately owned. Most of it's ranch land. Some of it's agricultural land where they grow crops. And these individuals will guide these folks and help them as they walk to highways to get picked up in vehicles and then driven places. So that is what we're talking about there on number three. B, an offense under this section is a felony of the third degree, except it's a felony of the second degree if the actor commits the offense in a manner that creates a substantial likelihood that the smuggled individual will suffer serious bodily injury or death. So if you're using a motor vehicle and you've got these people in the back of an 18-wheeler with no air conditioning and it's 110 degrees outside and they likely are going to suffer some type of heat injury, that would be an enhancement where they're going to suffer potentially serious bodily injury or death. It's a felony of the second degree if B, the smuggled individual, is a child younger than 18 years of age at the time of the offense. Or C, the offense was committed with the intent to obtain a pecuniary benefit, meaning they're getting paid to do it. Or D, during the commission of the offense, the actor, another party to the offense, or the individual assisted, guided, or directed by the actor knowingly possessed a firearm. So if any of the people involved in this are carrying a gun on their person, then it's an enhancement, it's a felony of the second degree. Or the actor commits the offense under A1, B, or it's a felony of the first degree if it is shown on the trial of the offense as a direct result of the commission of the offense, the smuggled individual, so the person that they assisted or they brought or that they harbored or hid, became the victim of sexual assault or aggravated sexual assault. Or the smuggled individual suffered serious bodily injury or actually died. It's an affirmative defense to prosecution of an offense under this section other than an offense punishable under B1A or B2 that the actor is related to the smuggled individual within the second degree of consanguinity, meaning same bloodline, or at the time of the offense within the second degree of affinity, meaning related through marriage. If conduct constituting an offense under this section also constitutes an offense under another section of this code, the actor may be prosecuted under either section or under both. Is there anything you want to add to this?
No, sir. I think you got it covered.
All right. Continuous smuggling of persons. So a person commits an offense if, during a period that is, and I would underline this, highlight this, circle this, memorize these periods of time, 10 or more days in duration, the person engages two or more times. So 10 or more days in duration, they do it two or more times. They engage in conduct that constitutes an offense under 20.05, which was the smuggling of persons. If a jury is a trier of fact, members of the jury are not required to agree unanimously on which specific conduct engaged in by the defendant constituted an offense of smuggling of persons, or on which exact date the defendant engaged in the conduct. They just have to agree unanimously that the defendant, during a period that is 10 or more days in duration, actually engaged two or more times in conduct that constitutes an offense under smuggling of persons. If the victim of an offense under subsection A is the same victim as a victim of an offense under smuggling of persons, a defendant may not be convicted of an offense under smuggling of persons in the same criminal action as the offense under subsection A, unless the offense under smuggling of persons is charged in the alternative, occurred outside the period in which the offense alleged under subsection A was committed, or is considered by a trier of fact to be a lesser included offense of the same offense alleged under subsection A. So what this is essentially saying is that if we're charging somebody for continuous smuggling of persons, we're using those instances as continuous, we can't use them again to charge them a second time for smuggling of persons.
Correct.
Okay. And then operation of a stash house. We don't cover that in these learning objectives. But I would familiarize yourself with this law. It's not covered in the learning objectives, but it's talking about if you use any, if you own a property that then you allow people to use as a part of the smuggling of persons, and you're allowing them to use your property as a place where they let people stay, then you can be tied up and charged with operation of a stash house. All right, well, that pretty much wraps up this episode of Chapter 20. We'll check in with you next time when we get into the trafficking of persons.